Luke 15, of course, the chapter that deals with three lost things. Three things that were lost. The coin, the sheep, and the son. And thank God all three of them were found. And the Lord lets us know here in verse 10, not only rejoicing of the shepherd and the woman and the father, the family, but look at this rejoicing. Let's read together verse 10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Amen. One. Everybody say one. Praise God. That's where we're going, with one. Amen. You may be seated. Now, the power of one, because we're oneness believers, and that is a wonderful message, an incredible truth that we have been privileged to have revealed to us. Thank God that we know the power of that one. Amen. But let me just mention now the power of one in terms of a human involvement, a human interaction. I think about Noah, who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The world was very wicked at the time of Noah. There was much in the way of evil. The only imagination of a man was toward evil. Everything was away from God. But yet, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord because of his righteous life and his desire for the things of the Lord. So God gave him a task that would almost seem insurmountable, a building project that involved an ark. And he and his family endeavored to complete that project, and it took over 100 years. Can you imagine all of the effort that would go into that effort? And because of a warning of something that had never been seen before. You talk about a step of faith. They'd never seen rain. They'd never had a flood. Everything was perfect except for the sin that was running rampant upon the world. And so they worked at this project for that period of time. And finally, after all the animals entered in and the miraculous hand of God displayed in that effort, 8 souls entered the ark. Noah, his 3 sons, and their wives, 8 of them, entered into the ark. And the flood floated that ark for over a year long. And I can imagine as the floods began to rise, and it wasn't just rain for 40 days, that was a long period of time, but the fountains of the deep were broken up as well, and underground sources of water came to the surface, and the water levels rose, and people died. Animals died. And no matter how the noise may have continued, the beating on the sides of the ark and that sort of thing, people wanting to gain entrance, the Lord protected them. And I'm sure they looked at their hands and the calluses and the splinters and the cuts and were so thankful that they stayed with it. So thankful that they didn't give up like others perhaps who had come alongside in that 100-year period and said, "Can we help you? What are you doing this for? There's going to be a flood. There's going to be rain. What do you mean rain?" But yet they grasped the promise and the threat and recognized they needed to partake as well. But one by one, they would depart. These 8 souls, however, one family, stayed together. And after that year, Noah sent out the raven, and it didn't return. All the carrion and all, you know, everything dead. I'm sure it was having a feast somewhere. And they send out a dove. Send it out a second time. And the sign that it came back with, again, the power of one. One olive leaf. And then Noah took that as a sign that the waters were abating, and the earth was again coming up through the waters, and it was going to be time eventually for them to depart from the ark. And praise God, they built an altar. First thing, an altar, his relationship to God, the power of one. Abraham called out, went out, not knowing where he was going. And as a result of his faith, the Hebrew nation being born, called a Hebrew in Genesis 14 and 13. Abraham's name changed from Abram to Abraham because he was to be the father of many nations, not just a multitude, but nations. And his natural descendants, of course, being very numerous, but his spiritual descendants, the spiritual children of faith that came from Abraham, and how that Romans chapter 4 describes his faith. He staggered not at the promises of God. He believed that what the Lord had promised, it was going to come to pass, even though every day that passed, every year that he marked, made it look as though that promise was even farther away and even less likely to come to pass. But what faith? And he believed the Lord. One. Joseph, one of the sons, not quite the youngest, second to the youngest, but one of those 12. And thrown into the pit by his brothers, pulled out of that pit and sold into slavery, 20 pieces of silver, then to Potiphar's house, bought as a slave, put to work as a slave. But God prospered him, and the numbers of times that the scripture says God was with him, amen, 4 times in Genesis 39, and then also in Acts 7, 5 times to indicate the Lord was with him. I'm so thankful we can rest upon those kinds of promises as well. We can put our trust in the God who is with us, amen. In fact, that's what Emmanuel means, isn't it? God with us. Praise God. And so from Potiphar's house to the prison, and finally from the prison to the palace, what a long road. What a discouraging time. But finally, he arrives at the place where God had intended, because there was to be a famine. There would be 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine, and Joseph could understand his brothers as they begin talking Hebrew among themselves, because he held on to that identity. He held on to that language. Amen. Never completely becoming Egyptian, even though he held all the riches and all the privileges and all the wealth and all the trappings, no doubt, of being Egyptian, and his brothers didn't recognize him. But he kept that language, and no doubt he kept it as a result of prayer. Amen. I can imagine the tears streaming down that young man's face as he's calling upon God in Hebrew. And the Egyptians are not understanding him. They're shaking their heads at him. They're wondering about him and so on. But he held on, praise God. And the Lord continued to show his favor and his blessing upon him. Not just favor in the sense that he rose again in Potiphar's house, he rose in the prison, and then he rose in the palace. But favor in that the Lord would bring him through to the place where he could be a blessing to his family. One. Amen. Saul of Tarsus, becoming Paul the Apostle. Already a one God believer. Already one who knew Shema Israel. And all of the access that he had to the temple and to the scrolls and to the scriptures and so on that he would know. Finally, he asked the Lord, "Who art thou?" And the Lord replied, "I am Jesus." You talk about your world being turned upside down. The purpose and the goal and the authority that he had to do away with the name of Jesus, and yet coming face to face with the one who would declare, I am Jesus. Praise God. And it was not lost on him. He did not miss the significance of that I am statement. Praise God. The Lord could have just replied Jesus with that name. But I think he purposely used that Hebrew phrase, I am Jesus. Praise God. Amen. And the repentance, the change that came so quickly to Saul of Tarsus. It's no wonder that the Lord had chosen him with all his stubbornness, all his zeal, studious lifestyle, and immersion of himself into the law and the Pharisaic lifestyle and so on. All of that would cause him to be staunch in his walk with God. And we see it in the next few seconds as he asks the Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Thank God repentance still works. Amen. Baptism still works. Infilling of the Holy Ghost still works. Praise God. The Lord told him, arise. Amen. I'm glad that the Lord has a plan to lift us up. The Lord has a way of bringing us up. Praise God. And so Saul of Tarsus prayed and fasted for 3 days, and God was dealing with Ananias. Ananias likewise heard the voice of the Lord. He also heard, arise. Amen. Because that's what the Lord wants us to do, to step up, to do the work that he desires for us to do. Go to Straight Street. Go to the house of Judas. Saul is praying there. Yeah. Amen. I like the way the Lord can be real specific. Sometimes he can just say, the field is the world. Go start sowing. Go start casting the seed. The world needs to hear it. And in other times, just like he told his disciples, you go to town, you're going to see a man with a pitcher, you follow him, you'll find a donkey tied, and you tell him the master has need of it. Amen. And he rides that donkey into Jerusalem. Specific in that regard. Likewise here with Ananias. And he told Ananias, he hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias, putting his hands on him to receive his sight. Praise God. There were a lot of things that the Lord was doing in Saul of Tarsus' heart in that 3 days of praying and fasting. A lot of things that God was taking care of there and working. I like the way the Lord works on the request on one hand and the answer on the other hand. Praise God. And in this case, the Lord showed Saul of Tarsus the answer. A man named Ananias is going to come. He's going to lay hands on you, and you're going to receive your sight. Praise God. And he's waiting. And Ananias is arguing. I've heard a lot about him, Lord. Are you sure? As you can imagine, he wasn't overly convinced that it was going to be what God wanted him to do. He questioned the Lord, but the Lord gave reassurance. And so Ananias went to Saul, and his greeting was, I'm sure, music to Saul's ears. Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus. I like the way there's that authentication that's there. I like the way there's that, again, helping him to understand, you weren't just hungry and you heard a voice and you saw a light. It wasn't just because you were hungry or because you were weak or because it was a long journey. No, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared to you in the way, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Amen. And his sight was restored. And he was baptized, and he wrote later, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. Amen. He had the experience. Amen. Thank the Lord. And what a witness, and what a writer this one became. I don't think Ananias had a full grasp. I don't think Saul had a full grasp of what was going to happen, even though the Lord said, I'm going to show him the things that he must suffer for my name, and I'm going to lead him to even speak to kings and so on. I don't think they had an idea of how great the witness was to be. Amen. He said, I saw a light from heaven. In Acts 22 and 6, he testified to a hostile crowd about that light from heaven. In Acts 26 and 13, he testified to the king and his wife and the governor and his wife about the light from heaven. Praise God. And he said, I wasn't disobedient to it. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing to both small and great, saying none other things than that which is written in Moses and the prophets. He said, I'm sticking with the word of God, and I'm not disobedient to that vision. Praise God. Oh, what an impact that he would make. The 13 letters that he wrote to churches and to pastors, maybe 14 with the book of Hebrews, but we know for sure 13 of those letters, 3 missionary journeys, and a fourth when he went to Rome after he appealed to Caesar. Praise God. What an incredible impact of one. Of one. What have you witnessed to that one? What have you helped pray that Sunday school teacher through? Amen. They weren't a Sunday school teacher then, but 15 years later they are. Amen. What if they're a missionary having tremendous results and great revival overseas because you prayed, because you fasted, because you taught a Bible study? Amen. Heaven rejoices. Heaven rejoices. Praise God. Oh, thank the Lord for the faithfulness of one. Lydia, we read about in our Bible lesson on Sunday, praying by the river. And the Lord opened her heart. And she heard what Paul and Silas had to preach, and so she and her household were baptized. Praise God. What a tremendous stand that she would take. And then she spoke to Paul and said, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. Praise God. Just like that Shulamite woman who prepared a place for Elijah. Thank God that there would be someone who would open her home to Paul and Silas. Amen. Thank God for faithful women. The jailer, with the earthquake deliverance that came to Paul and Silas, and the working of the gift of the Spirit and the word of knowledge that caused Paul to save the jailer from suicide. And he come running into their jail cell requesting, what must I do to be saved? And Paul's very assured answer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved in your house. Amen. Now, there are those who would want to stop right there. But remember what Paul said in Acts 19. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Amen. Believing is the start. Then there's going to be the changes that come to your life in a new birth experience. Praise God. And so they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to his house, and he was baptized in all his straightway, and they rejoiced. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful it's good news. I'm thankful it's good tidings. I'm thankful there's rejoicing in heaven, as well as rejoicing in the jailer's house, because he was believing in God with all his house. Amen. What a powerful change that came to them that hour because of the blessings of the Lord that were there as a result of them hearing and obeying what Paul and Silas had to say to him. Just one. Praise God. And a tremendous change that was brought about as well. Imagine a young boy at the age of 10, all he has known is hurt and hardship. He's being punished for stealing. And at the age of 10, he's sent to a residential school, far away from family. And so begins his his life of being in and out of jail. 10.5 years altogether he spent in jail for crimes committed while drinking and drugging. And that's all he knew. That's all he participated in. An alcoholic for 27 years. A drug addict for 23 years. Sleeping anywhere he could find. Smoking butts that he found on the street. Panhandling, like we see those people out with their signs, you know. Drugs that brought him down. Wandering in the streets, filled with thoughts of suicide, digging in garbage cans for food. But oh, thank God, that's not the end of the story. Because the Lord delivered Andy Nyman. The Lord changed Andy Nyman. Praise God. Amen. He says the horrible loneliness, the violence and pain of being a former convict, a skid row alcoholic, a heroin cocaine addict. God changed me. Amen. Baptized on July 13th, 1994. 3 months later, filled with the Holy Ghost, November 17th, 1994, or 4 months, whatever that is. Pastoring a church now in Carmax. Amen. Some of you have been there. Amen. Praise God. And preaching points in different villages in the Yukon Territory. He has a bachelor's degree in social work, and he serves as a child and youth advocate in the Yukon. Praise God. Don't you know heaven rejoices? Heaven rejoices. Amen. Hallelujah. Because now there are ones that Brother Nyman is reaching out to. Brother Nyman is bringing, praise God, I almost said a state trooper. What do they call him over there? RMCP. Right? No. Is that right? Mounted police, whatever. So, one of those guys. Run around with baggy pants and smoky bear hat. Brother Nyman baptized one of them. Praise God. Don't you know rejoicing in heaven again? Rejoicing. Hallelujah. Praise God. I told you about that girl in Norvik. That Sunday school girl in Norvik, 11 years old, her father attempted suicide by hanging, and the mother fortunately came in on time and cut the twine that was holding him, and he collapsed down to the floor. He hurt his back, couldn't get up off the floor. They called for Brother Wallace. Brother Wallace called Brother David, and they prayed and prayed and believed God. Amen. They raised the man off the floor, put him in a bed. Hurting so bad, his back injured. But as they continued to pray, God raised him up. Amen. Praise God. He got up off that bed and started jumping up and down and stretching his hands and touching the ceiling as he jumped to just rejoice and God touching him. And he's alive. Praise God. Last Sunday, both of them got the Holy Ghost. Both of them were baptized in Jesus' name. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, hallelujah. One Sunday school girl holding on, and her mom and dad changed. Her mom and dad born again. Oh, rejoicing in heaven. Let's go ahead and rejoice with them. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. Shaman balaramo kolanima balarabata. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen, amen. They rode snow machines from Norvik up to Kiana. Praise God. Amen. Can you imagine? An hour run in the cold temperatures and avoiding the open water and all of that kind of stuff. My goodness. Amazing. Praise God. Now, they may not have been on time, But they got there in time to receive the Holy Ghost and be baptized. You drive a nice vehicle. You're on good roads. Come on, you can be on time. Praise God. So important to give honor to the Lord. Praise God. You know, we sing about giving praise and giving Him honor. There's a lot of ways you give Him honor. And being on time is one of them. Just slip that in there. Praise God. Now we're going to emphasize go for one. Say that with me. Go for one. Amen. Praise God. I still believe that 80 in church is a possibility. I still believe it. Praise God. I know it can happen. And thank you for the outreach that you continue to be involved in. Sherry and the treat bags to the Head Start. The second time now, right? You gave out some for Thanksgiving. Praise God. We're believing that there's going to be an attraction there for some of those young families, and they'll come to Sunday school. Praise God. But all of your invitations to Sunday school, I keep a supply of church cards in my pocket, and I see a young family, little ones. I ask, are you, you have them in Sunday school somewhere? We'd love to have them in Sunday school. We've got a great Sunday school, and your kids would really enjoy it. I give them the card and talk to them about your invites to share group, to Sunday school. Don't give up. Don't give up. Keep going. Keep going for one. Amen. We're believing the Lord for that. Upcoming events, we're having a Christmas sing on December 20th. It'll be a great time of singing the good Christmas carols that have a powerful message. Amen. Powerful message of all of the biblical truths that we know to be there in the birth of Jesus Christ. Amen. And then a potluck on December 23rd. We know there's another purpose there. We wish that purpose wasn't happening, but it is. So December 23rd, we'll have that potluck. But that's a good time to invite others as well. Amen. Amen. And so we're believing the Lord for that. Praise God. And we can make heaven rejoice. Oh, my. But that would be interesting to just have a portal into the heavenly realm and just see the angels carrying on. Just see them rejoicing over one sinner that repents. Praise God. What do they do when they get baptized? We know they desire to be filled with the Holy Ghost. They want to look into the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. When Adelaide began speaking in tongues last night, imagine what the angels were doing. I wish I was her. I wish I was there to receive the Spirit. Praise God. Oh, thank the Lord. We can rejoice with heaven. Psalm 126, verse 6. He that goeth forth and weepeth. Not because there isn't a harvest, not because the work is too difficult, not because the promise isn't going to be fulfilled. No, just feeling a burden for souls, just recognizing if they don't hear, if they don't know what their eternity is going to be like. But we're bearing precious seed, and that seed is powerful. The Word of God is amazing in what it can do. And I've shared with you some lives that have been changed by that powerful word of the Lord. Your life being changed by that powerful word of God. Amen. I'm thankful for the promise. Shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. That heavenly realm rejoicing. Thank God we can join in. Doubtless rejoicing. Bringing His sheaves with Him. Amen. The weeping and the working in the harvest. And then the harvest and the rejoicing. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm thankful that we can be a part of it. I'm thankful that we can see the hand of the Lord at work in our lives directing us and guiding us. Amen. Asking the Lord, direct our paths, Lord. Lead me to that hungry one. Lead me to that one that you've opened their heart, just like Lydia had her heart open, Lord. There are those in the Sterling Soldotna area, and you've opened their hearts, Lord, and they're hungry. They're thirsting. They want to know. Lead me, Lord. Amen. I can remember Sister Glover and I standing here after a Sunday night service, and it's midnight. It's midnight, and we're still answering questions about, well, I won't name the church, but they have a lot of different beliefs, and we're trying to explain what the Bible says rather than what tradition says. Amen. And it's midnight, and we're still talking, still trying to help, still trying to explain. Amen. And, oh, thank God for a soul that we know to be worth so much and that heaven rejoices over. Stand with me. Praise God. Rejoicing, we know, is going to be our, not our pastime, is going to be our full time. Our full time experience when we get to that heavenly realm. It's going to be all that we're doing. Praise God. Rejoicing in the presence of the Lord. How amazing. How incredible. Amen. And those that prayed for us and prayed with us will be rejoicing in the harvest as well. Amen. Sister French that prayed so diligently. Brother and Sister Smith, my first pastor in Hoonah. Older folks, but yet committed to doing the work of the Lord. A retired fireman, if I remember right, from Tacoma, but yet wanting to be involved. Praise God. And thank the Lord that they knew how to pray. And they would invite me to pray with them. Real simple. Nothing earth shaking, but just consistent, persistent prayer. Praise God. Oh, the rejoicing when we get together on that other side. Amen. One. Amen. Let's come pray here today.